Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program, for making it a part of your day on Tuesday, the second day of the month of Cheshvan. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call, and please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my great honor to introduce Rabbi Daniel Rose, Mor d'Asra, Congregation B'nai Jacob Shaarei Tzion, Baltimore, Maryland, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Rose slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it'll be followed by the Mishnah Berach L'Cholem and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Rose to learn more about his wonderful community in Baltimore. In addition to being mindful of all those whom we are davening, praying for, please include in your tefillot, in your prayers, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs as well. His Hebrew name is Yaakov Tzvi Ben Liba. Again, that's Yaakov Tzvi Ben Liba. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Rose.
Good afternoon, Naftali, and hello to everybody listening. This country, in Eretz Yisrael, I gather around the world. I want to thank the Orthodox Union for everything they do for the Jewish people, and particularly for sponsoring this wonderful daily feature. When I was in yeshiva, a student in yeshiva in rabbinical school, I had a teacher who spoke once in this week, the week of Parshas Noach. And to be a little provocative, he opened his speech by asking, "So, who here is excited for a flood? Who here is excited for a mabul?" And we all sort of looked at him blankly. And he said, "Okay, that wasn't a fair question, but let me explain what I mean." Because in the prophet Isaiah, when he describes to us what the world of Mashiach, what the perfect world which we all yearn for will look like, he uses a fascinating picture, a fascinating image. Umala ha'aretz de'as Hashem. The whole world will be filled with the knowledge of Hashem. Kamayim layam mechasim. In the same way as the water fills the ocean, the world will be flooded, not with water, or the destructive flooding of the flood of this week's parsha, but the world will be flooded with knowledge and awareness of Hashem. And it's a fascinating undertone that really adds to our understanding of the story of the Mabul, which is, and without getting into all the details in this brief call, but there are indications that not only did the flood not have to happen as it did, but actually, the story was that the world was primed for a revolution to take place. And that revolution could have gone one of two ways. It could have gone the way it did, which was the destructive kind of flood, or it could have been the kind of flood that we're hoping for. And just some little tantalizing clues. You know, the rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights. That sounds familiar, right? 40 days and 40 nights of Moshe Rabbeinu being filled with knowledge, Moshe being filled with knowledge on Har Sinai at Mount Sinai, by Hashem teaching him the Torah. In the beginning of Parshas Ha'azinu, which we read a few weeks ago, where the Torah is compared to the way the rain falls. Ya'arov kamata likri. Hashem says, my lesson should pour down like rain. And the story, the backstory, if you will, of the Mabul, of the flood of this parsha, seems to be that the world was going to change. And the people of the time, they could have achieved that change in one of two ways. They could have merited to be flooded with the waters of Torah, with the waters of knowledge of Hashem. They could have heeded Noah's call. They could have learned the lesson of that teva, of the ark that was being built in front of their eyes for all those years. And they could have changed like the people of Nineveh, they could have turned that decree on its head instead of being overturned negatively. They could have overturned it in an incredibly positive way. But of course, they didn't achieve that. And instead, the world is overturned in a much more tragic way. This month, the month of Cheshvan, is called by many Mar Cheshvan, which we typically understand to mean Mar Cheshvan, Mar from the Hebrew word of bitter, because after the thrilling, incredible month of Tishrei, which is so full of Yom Tovim, of holidays and mitzvos and celebration and simcha and joy, we have this month which stretches before us without any particular holidays. This past Shabbos, which was Shabbos Mevarchim, the Shabbos to bless the upcoming month of Cheshvan, I led the shul, I led the davening for the blessing of the new month, for the Birchas HaChodesh. And just out of habit, I announced the new month as Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan without saying Mar Cheshvan. And a woman came up to me afterwards and said, I'm so happy you didn't say Mar Cheshvan, because my mother was a Rebbetzin in a shul in a small town in America. And she worked so hard during the month of Tishrei, helping run the shul and hosting so many people and making all those holidays. She never liked it when people referred to Cheshvan as a bitter month, because she was so happy when Cheshvan came around, because she got to take a little vacation from all her duties, running the shul and running her family and everything else. Now, I personally wish we could have Tishrei all year long. I never want Tishrei to end. But I think it does speak to us to an important aspect of this month that's before us, which is, just like in the case of the Mabul, we could have gone both ways. We could have taken the opportunities extremely positively, or as it turned out, extremely negatively. This month of Cheshvan also, there's another interpretation of the Mar Cheshvan, and it's not a bitter month of Cheshvan. Mar, in the Talmud, Mar in the Gemara, is a term which means honorable. Amar Mar means an honorable person said. And it's up to us, as it is always up to us, to decide whether the experiences we face, even if it's a month devoid of obvious holidays and obvious celebrations, but it's up to us to decide if we're going to turn that into, chas v'shalom, a bitter experience, or hopefully an honorable one, to take these days full of opportunity to grow and to implement all the lessons we learned during the month of Tishrei and to change ourselves and change our communities. It's up to us. It's always up to us. And we should, hopefully, now we're all looking forward to a flood, but a good kind of flood. Be flooded with kindness, to be flooded with good health, to be flooded with knowledge of Hashem, kamayim, layam, mechasim, as the water covers the ocean. We should experience that same flooding, overwhelming sense of Hashem's presence and care and involvement in our lives. We'll now say the Tehillim, beginning with Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. Mizmor le David, Adonai roi lo echsor, binos deshe yarbitzeini, almei menuchos inahaleini, Nafshi yeshovev, yancheini v'magalei tzedek l'man shemo. Gam ki elech b'geitz almoves, lo yirara ki ato imadi, shivtecha u'mishantecha heima yinachamuni. Taroch ufonai shulchan neged etzorirai, Bishanta Vashemen Roshi Kosi Revaya Achto Vachesed Yedefuni Kol Yemei Chayai Veshavti Beveis Adonai Liorech Yamim. We'll now say chapter 121, Kuf Chaf Aleph. Shir lamalo sesoi na lamot raglecha al yanu mishomrecha Hine lo yonam v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha. Adonai tzilcha al gad yeminecha. Yomam ha-shemesh lo yakeka. V'yoreyach balayla. Adonai yishmarcha mikol ra, yishmor es nefshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeischa uvoecha, me'ata v'yad olam. Chapter 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir ha-malos mimamakim kerosicha Adonai. Adonai, Shema v'koli, Tihiena oznecha kashuvos l'kol tachanunai. Im avonos tishmorya, Adonai yamiyamad. Ki im chasalicha l'man tivarei. Kivisi Adonai, kivsa nafshi. Lidvaro hocholti nafshi l'Adonai mishomrim laboker shomrim laboker yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai yachesed v'abeimo fedos v'hu yiftes Yisrael mikol avonosav. When I say the Mishaberach for Cholim, for those who are ill, I will pause for you to insert names of those who need our prayers for Fuah Shalema. Mishaberach Avoseinu, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aharon, David, Shlomo, who Yivarech, Reapei, Esach Cholim. Ba'avur sh'akol mispalalim ba'avuram. B'schar zeh ha'kadosh baruch hu yimalei rachamim aleihem l'achlimam ul'rafusam ul'achzikam ul'achayosam v'yishlach lahem mehira refuah shlimah min ha'shamayim l'chol evareihem ul'chol gideihem b'soch sh'ar cholei Yisrael refuah sa'nefesh urefuah sa'guf hashta ba'agolah v'zman kariv v'nomar amin. Acheinu kol beis Yisrael hanesunim b'tzara uv'shivya ha'omdim bein bayam uvein bayabasha ha'makom irachim aleihem v'yotziyei mitzara lervacha u'me'afela le'ora u'mishibud le'gula ha'shta ba'agala uv'zman kariv v'nomer amin.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Rose. You had me thinking during your remarks, speaking about the flood. I don't know why my mind went there, but it brought me to, I was thinking of the Pasuk in Amos, Parashat Pasuk Gedalus, which talks about the famine, Yamin Bayimim Hashem, which is another destructive force, but there it's not a destructive force of a famine, but of a hunger and of a thirst. And I think that's where my mind went as you were speaking, thinking about a thirst. For Torah and for the word of Hashem. I think there's some type of correlation to your remarks, at least for me. But I go off on a tangent. So, first of all, let me thank you. And as we transition into the next part of our call, we'll start, firstly, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Baruch Hashem, thank you. And I'll answer your question, but first I will just extend my own warm wishes and for all the communities around the world who are experiencing this pandemic in so many different ways. Our thoughts are with all of you. Baruch Hashem, we here are doing well. We are still, I think a little bit to our surprise, but still flying high from the past season of Yom Tov, of holidays. We did have a bit of an uptick in the virus in our community in Baltimore. In fact, my family ended up being exposed and were quarantined for a good bit of Yom Tov. But I think what we all discovered, whether we were in quarantine or whether we were here in Shul, where we were able to be together, even though, of course, following social distancing and masks, and I think many people were anxious about just how Yom Tov would feel this year. And I think we all learned that Yom Tov, celebrations, joy, can be just as present, even when you have all these restrictions. And it really were a beautiful series of Yom Tovim and Simchas Torah. It was very special, outside, dancing in place separately. And we're very grateful to Hashem to have given us the chance to celebrate this year in much the same way, even with all that's been going on.
Amazing. So to get us started, for our listeners who may not be as familiar with your shul, with your community, would it be possible to share with us, give us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
Sure. So I live in Baltimore, and I grew up here, actually. It's a great privilege now to be the Rav of a shul here. Baltimore, thank God, is a flourishing Jewish community. 30-some thousand Orthodox Jews here. Wonderful institutions and infrastructure and schools and yeshivos and chesed organizations. It's really a fantastic, strong, and really unified Jewish community here. The shul, where I'm the rabbi, is called B'nai Jacob Shari Zion. And if you haven't guessed already, it's the result of a merger between two shuls, one called B'nai Jacob, one called Shari Zion, both of which are over 100 years old. Shari Zion is about 100 and some years old, and B'nai Jacob is about 30-some years older than that. So old Baltimore institutions, they merged together a little over 20 years ago under the leadership of my predecessor, Rav Moshe Hauer, who is, of course, now the executive vice president of the Orthodox Union. It's a wonderful, beautiful, warm shul. We have just over 300 families. Very strong Torah learning, very strong activities, very strong sense of togetherness and family. And really, having assumed the leadership of the shul and transitioned while the shul was shut during COVID, which was certainly not an experience I anticipated, but the support of the people here and the commitment to each other really has been extraordinary, and I'm very grateful for it.
Amazing, and we are the beneficiaries of Rabbi Hauer, as is the broader Jewish community. I spoke with him earlier this morning. So the last question for you, Rabbi Rose, the world's changed so much. We're still in the middle of COVID. We're in the thick of it still. Really no end in sight for the time being, but we can certainly dream. We can certainly look towards the future as much as we can. And thinking about change, thinking about changes for the Jewish community, for your shul, for the broader Jewish community, what changes do you think we can anticipate, either for the time being for now, or really for even trying to think about a post-COVID-19 world?
I was reading your question, which you kindly sent me ahead of time, and trying to think if I could come up with anything that hadn't been said already, and I don't think I can, so I will not try. But one thing, setting aside, all sorts of communal changes and structural changes and family changes that I think we've all been familiar with, I think that, a quality that I've had to learn, I think that all of us have had to learn over this time, has simply been the quality of humility and patience. It's always, especially, those of us who work in, who are fortunate enough to work in the Jewish community, we're always oriented towards action, as we should be, and we're always oriented towards problem solving, as we should be and continue to be, and always oriented towards, let's get everybody involved and let's make programs and we can just solve this if only we put this and this resource to the task. And that is the way we ought to be, and it's the way Hashem wants us to be. But I think we also have learned that is not contradicted at all by a sense of being humble and by a sense of acknowledging that Hashem has plans for us, and Hashem has plans for our community, and as we found out, for the entire world, that we might not be able to figure out right away. And whatever plans we make, however well we think we've got this thing figured out, but we also have to allow Hashem for Hashem to guide us and guide the world towards His destiny, towards that flood we're all waiting for, however that will come about. That's of course, a very positive Jewish quality. And it's important to remember that they can go together. You can be active and strong and leading and trying to solve problems, and at the same time remembering that Hashem is guiding us to be humble and patient and allow everything to work itself out, as only Hashem knows how it will.
Mir Hashem, and for what it's worth, I don't believe that exact response has been shared with us, certainly not in the way that you articulated it. So it was unique and new, so we appreciate that. Rabbi Rose, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all Klal Yisrael of the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova for good. And may the Rabboni Sha'olam, the master of the world, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Wednesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, for Words of Inspiration with Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, who is the OU Jewish Learning Initiative on Campus Director, together with his wife, Sharona, at the UCLA campus in Los Angeles, California. This concludes today's call with hearts full of faith. Stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.